How long did miracles last in the first century church? We get a direct answer to this question in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And as you're turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, let me just review a few of the things that we've been over in these past several lessons. First of all, we find that the apostles received the power through the baptism of the Holy Spirit to lay hands on other Christians and give them miraculous spiritual gifts. We read about those gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that there was coming a time when those gifts would cease, when those miraculous abilities would be no more. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8, Paul said that charity never fails, that is, love never ceases. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail or cease. The word fail here, again, means to cease or to come to an end. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. So all of these things are spiritual gifts. Prophecies, speaking in tongues, and the knowledge here is miraculous knowledge, the gift of knowledge that is mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. Paul said about all of these gifts, and that is the entire spectrum of spiritual gifts, these miraculous abilities in the first century would cease, they would be done away with, they would come to an end. So the fact is, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8, that Paul plainly teaches here that those miraculous abilities would come to an end. Now the only question is, when did they cease? When did they come to an end? Paul further explains in verse 9, for we know in part, that is, by miraculous knowledge, we have this revelation in part, and by prophecy, we have this revelation of God in part, and by all these other spiritual gifts. You see, what Paul is talking about in verse 8, 9, and 10 is the revelation, the making known of the gospel. The gospel had not been written down in totality at this time. The New Testament was in the process of being delivered in written form. So in order to supplement, in order to make up for the New Testament books that had not been written at that time, the Bible shows us that God gave these miraculous powers, like speaking in tongues and prophesying and these other gifts, to deliver the gospel message. Now, one of the things that we're going to talk about in the next set of lessons is how that when God spoke directly in Bible times, He confirmed that He was speaking by the miracles that were done. So that will be the next phase of this study of the Holy Spirit that we're going to go into. But I want us to notice some more about 1 Corinthians chapter 13 before we get into that phase of the study. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 10, Paul tells us when these miracles ended. He said in verse 10, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now, we don't have to guess about what is in part. The last part of verse 10, where he talks about that which is in part. What is that which is in part? Well, he told us in verse 8 and verse 9. Because in verse 9 he said, we know in part and we prophesy in part. What he's talking about is the fact that the gospel, this new covenant, was being delivered through these different avenues or parts, if you will. But he said there's coming a time when that revelation from God, that gospel system, is going to be found in one complete whole. Remember, the word perfect here means complete. It means that something is going to be full and complete and unified in one source. So when he says that which is perfect is going to come, he's talking about the completed New Testament. He's talking about the completion of all the writings of the New Testament, all these New Testament books. Once those books were delivered, then these gifts that he's talking about here were done away with. They came to an end. They ceased. Now, I know that people look at this passage and say, well, but maybe this is talking about something like Jesus. Maybe that which is perfect refers to Jesus. Well, again, folks, look at the verses that he's just given us. in verse 8 and 9 and 10. Whatever he's talking about that is in part has to be the same thing that he's talking about that is going to be full or complete. And what he's been talking about by having something in part refers to the giving, the delivering of this gospel message by these miraculous gifts. So if the in part refers to the gospel message and how God communicated it, then that which is complete or perfect has to refer to the gospel message in a different form, not in spoken or oral form, but in complete written form. That is that which is perfect. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 10 refers to your complete New Testament, and when it was completed, it is referred to in the Bible as the perfect law of liberty, James chapter 1, verse 25. It is referred to as the faith once for all delivered to the saints, Jude verse 3. And this gospel system that we're talking about, God's revelation to man in written form, tells us everything that we need to know in order to be saved and to get to heaven. It furnishes us unto all good works, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, and it has within it all things that pertain to life and godliness, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Somebody says, well, what is he talking about in verse 11 and 12 then? Well, in verse 11 he says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Paul is using an illustration here. He's talking about his growth, any man's growth, from childhood to adulthood. And he says, when I was a child, I understood, I spake, and I thought like a child does. But when I reached maturity, I put away these childish things. Now, what is that an illustration of? It is an illustration of the early church. And it is an illustration of how the early church received this revelation from God. In the beginning, the early church did not have the written New Testament like you and I have. This is very important to remember. And it's kind of hard for us, I believe, to put ourselves in their shoes and to just imagine the church functioning without the written New Testament. But they did. And they were able to do that because they didn't have the New Testament in written form, but they did have it in spoken form. That's why they had to have these prophets and tongue speakers and interpreters and these other spiritual gifts. So this is an illustration of how that the early church was, in a sense, in a childlike or baby-like state at that time. It was like an infant. But the church grew to maturity, and when the church received all of these written books of the New Testament, then those spiritual gifts, these miraculous gifts, were done away with. They ceased. In verse 12, he says, "For now we see through a glass darkly." Now, the word glass here means a mirror. It means a looking glass. And he said, right now at this point, we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Then it won't be a mirror image, it will be the real thing. Then face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Now I know a lot of people look at that and say that that refers to heaven itself. But if you look at the context here, what he's talking about is the difference between the time when they had revelation coming through these miraculous gifts and the time coming when the New Testament would be complete. And he said it's the difference between looking in a mirror and looking face to face. At this time, they had these miraculous abilities and they received the Word of God through those miraculous gifts. But he said the time is coming when you're going to have the complete, perfect, full source and you can look at it in its entirety and in its totality. Now that refers to your completed New Testament. Paul says, now I know in part. Verse 12, look at it again. Now I know in part. Paul again here is referring to how that revelation was delivered back in the first century. It was delivered through different people and through different gifts, through those different parts, if you will. But he said, the time is coming in which you're going to have one source, where everybody can go to that same one complete source to find out the will of God, and that is the New Testament. Now, what I'd like to do is to look at just a few things regarding miracles and some things that people say about miracles. And one of the things that I wanted to notice by way of just looking at some objections that people have to what we've been talking about goes back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says some very important things about speaking in tongues and other miracles. One of the things that you hear some people saying today is that if anybody is saved, he has to prove that he's saved by speaking in tongues. Now, there are groups, there are churches that say that if you're going to be a member of their denomination, you have to have the evidence that you're saved, and they say the evidence that you're saved is that you're able to speak in tongues. So according to them, any Christian ought to be able to speak in tongues. Well, what we find in 1 Corinthians 12 is that that was not even true. That was not even necessary in Bible times. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 29, Paul said, "Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers?" Well, the answer to those questions would be no. These are rhetorical questions. They answer themselves. Are all workers of miracles? The answer would be no. Have all the gifts of healing? The answer would be no. Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? The answer again would be no. So Paul plainly tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 30, that not everybody, not every Christian in the early church could speak in tongues. Now that is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 30. Here's something else about miracles in the first century that we find in the book of 1 Corinthians, and it's in chapter 14. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul gives several rules and regulations about the exercise of those miraculous gifts in the early church. And notice what he says about speaking in tongues. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. "If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church," that is, in the public worship assembly of the church, "and let him speak to himself and to God." Now, how does that compare, how does that contrast with what people claim to be doing today, where they have some kind of worship assembly, and all of a sudden somebody stands up and claims to be speaking in tongues, and there's no interpreter there, nobody understands a word of what is sounded out? Paul said, even in Bible times, when people actually, not in a pretended way, but actually did speak in tongues, he said, if there's no interpreter, that tongue speaker was to keep silence. Now let's look at one more objection or one more question. It comes from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. The writer says, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever." Some people say, well, if Jesus worked miracles then how can you say that Jesus doesn't work those same miracles today? Because it says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, folks, look again at what it says. In Hebrews 13, verse 8, it says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It doesn't say Jesus does the same things yesterday, today, and forever. There's a big difference there. And what we find is that Jesus did things in Bible times that he doesn't do today. And we find that Jesus did things in his day that were not done in the Old Testament. But the nature of Jesus, the nature of God, remains the same. That is all that Hebrews 13, verse 8 is talking about. Hebrews 13, verse 8 says that Jesus' nature is the same. It does not say that what Jesus does or what God does is the same that it always has been. And in our next set of lessons, we're going to look at a very interesting example in the period between the Old Testament and the New Testament, as we continue to look at the Holy Spirit and miracles.